All right, people say good morning, good morning. Such a schus, Baruch Hashem. To be back in the basement just with all of you, begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Haba Alina Latova, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, in memory of Avram's father, Rafal Yechiel, Ben Avram, Zichron LeBracha, our Dafyomi sponsors, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, for dedicating the shir today in the schus of continued hal for Shalom Eschala Basusha, and for an ultimate refuah shalem. And of course, as always, we dedicate our learning in the schus of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, schus of our holy soldiers. May it be successful b'chol ma'aseh edem, and we b'zochem Eretz Hashem, to a week of beautiful brachas, yeshuas, and nechamas. But with that, let us begin. We have an exciting daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Beis 32, Leiv. Incredible, it's going to be a good daf. The heart of Maseches Chulin. So let's begin, Abbas, we're beginning at the Mishnah. So we're going to be getting into today, Emeres Hashem, some of the really interesting halachos concerning Hilchos Shechita. Let's begin with the Mishnah, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Nafla Sakin Vigbiu. See, here's the case, Abbas. A person is shechting, right? So we'll call him Ruven. Ruven is doing his Shechita. And what happens? He dropped his knife. Never a good sign. He dropped his knife, and what happens? He picks it up. Now, what's happening over here? If you take a quick look at Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi says, Nafla sakin vigbiya fisha bagbazu. So a topic over here that we are focusing on is the psul of shehiyah. We've referenced this many times. Today we're actually going to get into the mechanics or into the details of Shehiyah. Shehiyah means the act of pausing during Shechita. If one is Shoheh, if one pauses during Shechita, ultimately, again, the Shechita is invalid. Bipashtos, why does Shehiyah go and invalidate the animal? So we're going to discuss, but on a most basic level, could be that part of the concern is that when the animal is being shechted, the animal may also writhe and move. If you begin the cut but don't finish the cut, the concern may be that the animal, through its own writhing and movement, may actually tear the simonim. And therefore, tearing the simonim could invalidate the shechita. We'll see other reasons as well. So that's the case over here. Nafla sakin vigbiya. So I dropped the knife, and I paused to pick it up. Or, naflu kelav vigbiyan. Or, I dropped my stuff. Kelav means my utensils, whatever those utensils may be. Rashi says over here, begadav. An article of clothing slipped off me, and I paused to pick up the article of clothing. Or, hishchiz es hasakin. I sharpened my knife, va'af, and then I became faint during Shechita. Now Rashi says over here, look at Rashi, O shehishchiz es hasakin, kodem Shechita. Says, sharpened my knife before Shechita, va'af, Rashi says, nisyageya, ukishehishchil lishkot lo haya bakoach upasak shechitasa ubachaber v'shachat. So what happened over here is, it's interesting, the intro here, I sharpened my knife. Now, sharpened my knife means, I'm ready. I did what I was supposed to do to ready myself for a proper shechita. Then what happens? I'm in the midst of the shechita, and va'af, I become faint. Now, we'll say what happened. Ba'chaveir of the shachat, my friend came along and finished up the shechita. So these are three distinct cases of shechita. Right? Case number one, I started the shechita, dropped the knife, picked it back up, and resumed. Case number two, my article of clothing fell off me, I paused, picked it up, resumed the shechita. And case number three is I sharpened my knife, which means I was ready to go. I'm good to go. I started it, I became a little bit faint in the midst of shechita. My friend came and finished it up. In all of these cases, there was some type of pause which occurred in the midst of the shechita process. So Moshe says, now what's the shayla? The shayla is the shechita kasher or not? To which the Mishnah says, it depends. Im shaha kidei shechita psula. If you paused, now again, the wording over here is a bit ambiguous, which the Gemara is going to define. If you paused, the amount of time that it would take to do a shechita, the shechita is possible. Okay, so what it sounds like over here is, again, if you pause the amount of time to do shechita, what does it mean, amount of time to do shechita? The amount of time to finish the shechita, to do a whole shechita, what kind of animal shechita? So we'll discuss that in the Gemara. Point over here is, Rabbi Yosef, for the first time, and since we started Maseches Chulin, we've referenced shehiyah many times. Now the first time we have a shear. What is the shear? What is the amount for shehiyah? If you pause the amount of time to do a shechita, your shechita is invalid. Okay, the Bishnir Bishimin says, Imsha Kedei Bikar. Bishimin says, no. The shear for Shehiyah is not Kedei Shechita. It's not the amount of time to do a Shechita. Rather, the shear for Shehiyah is Shah Kedei Bikar. You paused enough time for an inspection. inspection of what? Inspection by who? We'll see in the Gemara. Rabbi say, let's analyze. Says the Gemara, Makadish Shechita. So let's go back. So now Rabbi say, Tanakamo told us that the shear for Shechita is Kedesh Shechita, the amount of time. So if you pause the amount of time that it takes to do a Shechita, your Shechita is invalid. Makadish Shechita. Amarav Kedesh Shechita Behem Acheres. So Rav says, it's the amount of time that it takes to Shecht another animal. So you're going to both say, so it's interesting. As opposed to saying the amount of time that it would take to finish up the Shechita, actually the Gemara is giving us a little bit of a larger shear. What it's saying is it's the amount of time that it takes to do an entire Shechita. So let's say it takes 10 seconds to do a, let's call it Ikebizi. It takes 1 minute to do a Shechita. So what Rav seems to be saying is like this, is if I'm Shechting and I pause, if I pause a minute, the amount of time that it takes to do a Shechita, ultimately, again, the animal, the Shechita is going to be invalid. Amle Rav Kahana, Ravasi, the Rav. So this is interesting. So Rav Kahana and Ravasi said to Rav, Kadesh Shechitas Behema la Behema va'of la'of. So Rabbi says, so remember, in the world of Shechita, there's different types of Shechita. There's Shechitas Behema. Behema means, again, like large animals, versus Shechita of an oaf, of a bird. Now, the assumption we're working under is that it takes much less time to Shecht the bird than it does to go ahead and Shecht the Behema. So when we say that the shear for Shehia is the amount of time that it takes to do a Shechita, what kind of Shechita? Do we mean like if you're shechting an animal, a behema, so it's the shear of Shechita for a behema? But if you're shechting an oaf, it's the shear of Shechita for an oaf? Oh, Dilma, af behema la'oaf. Or maybe not, maybe we're a makel. And maybe we say, even if you're shechting an oaf, the amount of time that you have before your Shechita is invalidated the amount of time you have before your Shechita is invalidated for an oaf is the amount of time that it would take to shecht a behema. That's our shayla. So Amar Lehu, it's very interesting. So Rav responded, Lo hava badichna be bechavivi. I was not on good enough terms with my uncle. Now Rav's uncle was Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was one of they were asking the shayla to. Di is shayle. So apparently when I was having this conversation with my uncle, we weren't, I didn't feel that he was in a good enough mood to be able to go ahead and get into the nitty gritty of this. Look at Rashi for just a moment. I felt I wasn't close enough with my uncle Rabbi Chiya. Kishalamarati halacha zu, when we were learning this halacha, for lo haya b'sever panim imi sheshalenu davar zeh. So again, whatever the relationship dynamic was, Rav said in that moment, I felt it wasn't good enough for me to kind of get into the nitty gritty of this particular conversation. Rav said, isn't that fascinating? Again, what that means, like what's involved in that, no idea. But it's just simply fascinating. I felt that just it wasn't a good time. You know, say there is this concept that sometimes, you know, it's like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that, well, first of all, Shlomo Melech says in Kohelet, like kol zman va'is, there's a time for everything. So sometimes, again, there's a time to ask questions, there's a time not to ask questions. So whatever the dynamic over here was, Rav felt that he was unable to ask his uncle Rabbi Chiya certain deeper details. So the Gemara goes weiter. Itmar Amar Rav, so Rav said. So we'll say, then interestingly enough, Rav himself answers his own question. So again, let's just frame what we have over here. Mishnah tells us that the shear for Shehiyah, the amount of time that you have to pause during a Shechita in order to invalidate the Shechita, is Kedei Shechita. The amount of time it takes to do a Shechita. What's the Gemara's question? What do they ask Rav? Rav, what does that mean? Is that the amount of Shechita of a behema for a behema, an oaf for an oaf? Or maybe no, even if you're shechting an oaf, you still have the shear of Shechita for a behema. Which one is it? So the Gemara says, Itmar Amarav. So Rav said, Kedei Shechitas behema la behema va'of la'of. So Rav said, it's behema la behema and oaf la'of. So in other words, the shear of Shehia is subjective. Subjective. Everything depends what you are shechting. So if you are shechting a behema, the shear for Shehia is a behema. If you're shechting an oaf, the shear for Shehia is an oaf. That's the way it works. That's Rav Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Afilu behema la'of. Shmuel says, no, we're mekel. And if you're shechting an oaf, you still get the shir shehiyah for a behema. V'chein ki asa rabin am Rav Yochanan afilu behema la'of. So both says, machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So Rav says, the shir for shehiyah is fundamentally subjective and is wholly dependent on what it is that you're shechting. Whatever the type of animal you're shechting, that's what determines the shear for shehiyah. So you're shechting a behema, shehiyah is the amount of time it takes to shecht a behema. You're shechting an oaf, it's the amount of time you take to shecht an oaf. Shmuel says there's a kula. No matter what you're shechting, you always get the shear shehiyah for a behema. So, which is really incredible. So even if you're shechting a bird, right, the shear for shehiyah is still going to be the shear for a behema. Incredible. So Rav Chanina Amar, Rav Chanina takes it even a step further. He says, "Kedei shiyavi behema acheres v'yishchot." Rav Chanina says, "What's the shear of shehiyah? The amount of time that it would take to go get another animal and shecht it." The Gemara says, "What? Yavi afilo me'alma na'asata devarach l'shiurin? How could that be? The amount of time it takes to get an animal." Rebbe will say, "What's the avi yishayla? Where are you getting it from?" So what anybody tell me? I only like to get my animals from New Jersey, right? I like Jersey animals. So now what? So I'm shechting in Baltimore. So the shear for shear for me is the amount of time it takes to get an animal from New Jersey, bring it back to Baltimore and shecht. That doesn't make any sense. Amar Papa, omedes lahatil ika benayu. So Papa says, no. The point of contention over here, Rabbi Osei, is the amount of time that it takes, ultimately, again, to put the animal down on the ground. Look at Rashi for just a moment. This is actually quite interesting. Omedes, Rabbi Osei, this is Rashi in the second wide line, on the bottom there, middle of the second wide line, omedes. Kan, omichuseres hatala la'aretz. So Rabbi Osei, when Rabbi Chanino says that Allah HaLamayis, the amount of time it takes to get another animal, he doesn't mean get. What he means is like this. So remember, the way they're, how are they shechting in the times of the Gemara, right? So they didn't have these machines like you have today, which keep the animal in place, lift up the neck. That's not what they had there. Or lift, right? What they had is, the way you shecht the animal was, you push the animal down to the ground, right? And you held it in place. That's how you shechted. So Rashi says, omedes kan umchuseres hatala la'aretz. So ultimately, again, about the point of contention between Rabbi Chanina and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan, ultimately, again, is, do we factor in the amount of time it takes to push the animal down to the ground? Look at Rashi. Ika bein Rabbi Chanina l'Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan mishaer b'shchita l'chuda. So Rabbi Yochanan's position is, the amount of shehiyah is determined, ultimately, again, by the amount of time it takes to do the shchita itself. Rabbi Chanina, boi hatala u'shchita. Rabbi Chanina says, no, the shir of shehiyah also includes the amount of time that it would take to get the animal down on the ground. Incredible. Amri b'ma, Rav Mishmeid, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, k'dei shiyak b'yena, v'yarbitsena, v'yishchot daka l'daka, v'gasa l'gasa. So listen to this in Eretz Yisrael. It's saying of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, that the shir shiyah is the amount of time it takes, listen to this, to pick up the animal, yak b'yena, yarbitsena, means again, get it down on the ground, and shecht it. And obviously, again, that's going to be a subjective shear for a behema daka, for a smaller animal for a smaller animal, and a larger animal for a larger animal. Both say one more Rashi, I'm sorry. Daka la daka, Rashi says, third wide line, l'shehiyas behema daka, m'sharinen b'dei shechitas behema daka, dekavasa, v'yafag av dar Rabbi Yochanan, aloch Rabbi Yochanan, kevin dekim Rabbi Yosef, so these are all, what's fascinating over here is these are subjective shiurim for shehiyah. Subjective shiurim. So again, now what's interesting is that Allah Alamaisa, we're building in other parts of the shechita process, not only the slaughter itself, but actually again, like the readying of the animal, lifting up of the animal, pushing it down to the ground, all going to be part of the shir shehiyah. Incredible. We'll come back to that for just a moment. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Hashochit b'sakin ra. So if one goes ahead and shechts with a sakin ra, again, I will say, what's a sakin ra? So Rashi says over here, sakin ra, she'en chiduda mito chotech yofa. It's not sharpened properly. Now again, I will say, now what I want to point out over here, not that it has any nicks, right? Because remember, again, if you have a nicked knife, we'll talk about that next, that's a problem of drasa. Right? Well, I'm sorry, that's a problem of ikur. That's going to be a problem of tearing. It's going to be a problem of tearing. So what we're talking about over here is, there's no nicks. It's just dull. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Amar Rava, Hashochei b'sakin ra, afilu kol yom kulok shera. If you shecht with a dull knife, and you're shechting the whole day, ultimately, again, the shechita is going to be kasher. Now, what does this mean, you're shechting the whole day? Look at Rashi. Rashi is five lines in, end of the fifth line of the wide lines. Afilu kol yom kulo, ma'arich v'shoheb b'shechita achas. So you know, both say, so literally, again, I'm spending the whole day on one shechita. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. All on one shechita. So what's the halacha? Kshera. Ultimately, again, the shechita is going to be kasher. Shechita is kasher. Now Rashi says over here, kshera. Ho'il v'chol shah v'molich u'mevi v'lo hifzik b'shechitasa. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, there's no shehiyah. Because what have I been doing over here? Back and forth. Back and forth. So I've been going back and forth with a cutting motion. It took me a long time, right? But l'maisa, there's no psul. Again, I will say, obviously not ideal, but there's nothing invalidating about this shechita. So by Rava. So Rava asks the shayla. Shehios mahu sheyitztarfu. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says, shehios, which means, so it says, here's what we've established. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch in just a moment about halacha l'maisa. What is the shear for shear? How do we actually paskin? But let's say like this: whatever the shear is, what happens if over the course of shechita you paused a number of times, but each time you paused, it was less than the invalidating shear? So the shaila is: do those independent smaller pauses, do they combine to form one shear of shehiyah or not? That's the shayla. Boy, Rava, shehiyos ma sheyitztarfu. So do smaller acts of pausing combine to form one invalidating shear of shehiyah? I v'tif shot la mididay. But why don't you just go ahead and answer that from the previous case? Now here's what's interesting. The previous case where you're shechting the whole day with a dull knife, the Gemara presupposes that that case actually is talking about where you paused during the shechita as well. And yet the Gemara said that the shechita is kasher. To which Gemara says, no, hasam b'dalo shah. No, there was no shia there. In other words, you were cutting the whole day with a dull knife, but there was no shahia. So therefore the Gemara doesn't answer that question. But as Gemara then goes on to another question, suppose this is actually another interesting case. What happens if halacha l'maisa, you shechted the rov of the simanim? Let's say by behema, you shechted the majority of both simanim, and then you did shehiya by the last remaining minority of the simanim. So, right, what's interesting about this? Right, what defines a kosher shechita? Majority of the simanim. So what happens if halacha l'maisa, you shechted the majority of the simanim and you did shehiya by the remaining minority of the simanim? What is the halacha? So in other words, does that invalidate the shechita or not? To which the Gemara answers, teku. The Gemara doesn't answer it. The Gemara just leaves that open. So two open-ended questions over here. So we'll say, so number one, we'll have to see, what is the shear for shehiya? What is it? So multi-way machlokes. What is it? That's number one. Number two, halacha lemaisa, if you pause a number of times, but each time less than the shear of shehiya, do those individual pauses combine to form a disqualifying pause of shehiya? And question number three, if you did shehiya after you shechted the majority of the simanim, does shehiya by the miut of the simanim invalidate the shechita or not? Also open-ended. Let's finish up the sugya. Reb Shimon Amar im shaki de bigger. Now again, I will say, remember again, Reb Shimon and Mishnah disagreed. Reb Shimon and Mishnah said that the shear for shehiya is not the amount of time for shechita, but rather kedei bikur, the amount of time that it takes to inspect. Now the Gemara says, what does this mean? So my kedei bikur, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, kedei bikuro shel chacham, the amount of time that it would take for the chacham to check the knife. The Gemara says, once again, imkei nasata devarecha l'shiurin, then haven't you created a subjective shear? Why? Because we'll say the assumption is, what do I have to do? I have to take the knife to the Talmud Chacham to inspect it. So isn't that a subjective shear? To which the Gemara says, ela kadei biker tabach chacham. No, what it means is like this. Let's assume for a moment that the shochet himself is the ranking sage of the city. As such, who's inspecting the knife? the Shulchan himself. So Reb Shimon says that the amount of Shehiya is the amount of time that it takes to halacha l'maisa go ahead and inspect the knife from any disqualifications. Therefore, I will say, our Mishnah is a fundamental machlokis. What is the shear of Shehiya? Tanakama, k'dei shechita, the amount of time it takes to do a shechita. Now, how long is that? So that's a multi-way machlokes. Rabbi Shimon k'dei bikur, the amount of time that it takes to go ahead and have a Talmud Chacham go ahead and inspect it. So Rabbi Shimon, I'll tell you, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, listen to this. This is in your day, Simin Chaf Gimel, Halacha Beis. Actually, it's Beis and Gimel. So listen to the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Shehiya Ketzad. What is the psul of Shehiya? Hay Shehischil Lishchot, Vigbia Yado Kodim Shigmar Ashchita. So what's the case? The case is I started Shechting, and I lifted my hand, which means just, I paused before finishing the Shechita. V'sha, Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein ba'ones, bein b'ratzon, u'bahu, o acher v'gamar ha'shchita. So again, I'll say, then what happens? So again, I pause. I pause in the middle, and I finish the shchita, someone else comes along and finishes the shchita. What's the halacha? Here it is. Im shaha k'dei sheyagbia ha'behema v'yarbitzena v'yishchot. Ultimately, again, if I paused, look at the Gemara Paskins, if I paused, the amount of time that it takes to lift the animal, to push it down on the ground, and then to shecht. If you pause that amount of time and you shecht, ultimately, again, the animal is going to be invalid. Then he goes on. So again, I'll say, interestingly enough, Halacha L'Maisa, Shulchan Aruch says two things over here. Number one, that the shear for Shehiya is the amount of time it takes to lift up an animal, push it down on the ground, and shecht it. But then the Gemara says, the shear is behema for a behema, behema gasa for a behema gasa, behema daka for a behema daka, and oaf we're going to see in just a moment. So again, you see it's a subjective shear based on the amount of time it would take to lift up, put down on the ground and shecht the particular animal. Haisa behema daka. Shir shiasa kadesh yagbia behema daka viyarbitzena viyishchot. Vim haisa gasa kadesh yagbia behema gasa viyarbitzena viyishchot. Okay, and again, on both sides, depending on the type of animal, that will determine the shear. Uba'ov kadesh yagbia behema daka viyishchot. So interestingly enough, he says over here that halacha l'maisa by a bird. Interesting. There's a machlokes. Okay, but again, it seems to me the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens is that the shir shia by a bird is the same shir shihia ultimately again by a behema daka. So halacha l'maisa. The way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is, the shear for Shehiya is the amount of time it takes to lift up the animal, push it down on the ground, and shecht it. Gasa for gasa, large animal for large animal. Daka for daka, small animal for small animal. The shear for oaf is the same shear as behema daka. Now look at this. The Ramah, however, comes along. This is fascinating. The Ramah says, listen to this. Hagal, v'minog ha'pashad b'medinas elu. The Ramah says, the general minog by us is lahatrif kol shehiya afilu mashu bein ba'uf bein bebehema ve'ein l'shanos. The Rama says, this is not our minog. Our minog is any pause in shechita causes the shechita to be invalid. The Rama says, this is how we paskin and do not deviate. Fascinating. Ve'ein l'shanos. Okay, he goes on. Fine. So that's it. Now again, I don't know. I didn't have a chance to look into this more. So clearly, this is how Ashkenazim will paskin. Again, what I quoted to you from beforehand was the Mechaber of Yosef Karo. Rav Yosef Karo is the one who says that the shear shehiya ultimately again is a subjective shear. Gasa for gasa, daka for daka, oaf goes like daka. The Ramah, Ramosha Israelis, Ashkenazic Jews, any amount of pausing. Right? Any pausation ultimately, again, will go ahead and invalidate the Shechita, and his wording is so strong. Ein l'shanos. Ein l'shanos means we do not deviate from this. Now, we'll say, remember again the second question we had? What about a number of smaller pauses? Number of smaller pauses. Shachat ma'at v'shah ma'at v'chazer v'shachat ma'at v'shah ma'at. Interestingly enough, case number two. Now again, for us Ashkenazim, case number two actually doesn't matter, right? Because remember case number two? Case number two was you pause a number of times, each time less than the disqualifying pause. Do the smaller pauses combine to form a disqualifying pause? Now again, for us Ashkenazim, it makes no difference because the Ramah just said any amount of pausation ultimately is going to validate the Shechita. What about first Sfaradim? What about for Rav Yosef Kairo? So the Mechaber paskins that smaller pauses absolutely combine into a larger pause. And therefore, Halacha L'maisa, if you pause the number of times during Shechita, those smaller pauses combine together and will invalidate the Shechita. And last, remember again, third case was, you're shechting the whole day with a dull knife. Hashochet behema besakin sheinu chad, v'nis'akev kishir shia b'shchitas miyot achron shal simen, shal simen rishon, harei zu psula. Which actually, that's not the case. Achar sheshechet rov echad ba'ov orvshayim b'behema, ein shia psalas. We'll say, last case the Mechaber says, is after you've shechted either the majority of two simonim by behema, or the majority of one simon by an oaf, there's no longer a psul of shahia. That was the last question of the Gemara, which makes sense. Because once you've shechted the majority of two simonim by a behema, the shechita is done. You've done the majority of one simon by an oaf, the shechita is done. Once the shechita is done, there's no longer any issue of shahia. Incredible. Good. We'll say next Mishnah. Shachat es haveshet upasak es hagargeres. So what happens? You shechted the esophagus. And then I both say, pasak means you tore. You tore the trachea. Now again, I both say, this is talking about the psul of ikur. Ikur means, I both say, where, let's say again, instead of going ahead and cutting the simen, ikur literally means to uproot. You are tearing the simen some way other than cutting it. So again, you shechted the veshet, and then you went ahead and you tore the gargaris, right? You shechted the esophagus, you tore the trachea. O pasak es hagargaris v'achat shachat es haveshet, or vice versa. O shachat echad mehen, or you shechted one of the simanim, v'himtin la'ad shemesa, and you waited until the animal died after having one of the simanim cut. So obviously, again, these are all going to be invalidating cases. O shehichlid es hasakin, Tachas Hasheni Upasko. Or you went ahead and you cut one of the simanim, and Abbas said, then this chalada. Chalada literally means burrowing. Right? Now, what does that mean? It means, as generally, Abbas said, when you're doing shechita, you take your knife to the front of the neck of the animal, and you cut from the front of the neck to the back of the neck. Burrowing would be, if you could imagine this, if you insert the knife in the neck. So let's say, you insert the knife in the back of the neck, and let's say again, what you do is you cut the esophagus or the trachea, but it'd be more common to do the esophagus. You would cut the esophagus from the back going forward, right? So you've burrowed it into the neck and then cut it forward. So interestingly enough, the simen has been cut, but as opposed to a cutting action that begins from outside the neck in, you borrowed the knife in and then cut from the inside out. That's called chalada, and that also invalidates the shechita. So what's the chalada? Now, again, common denominator in all of these cases is you have an invalid shechita, right? So case number one was ikur. You cut one of the simanim and tore the other one, right? Case number two, ultimately, again, is you cut one of the simanim, let the animal die, and then cut the other simen, right? Or you went ahead and you borrowed the knife inside of the neck of the animal and cut from the inside out. In all of these cases, you've done an invalid shechita. So we'll say, so what happens if you do an invalid shechita? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yishavev Omer Nevela. Rabbi Yishavev says, the animal is a nevela. Again, I will say, what's the impact of being a nevela? Nevela conveys tumah. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva says, trefa. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the animal is not nevela. The animal is a trefa. Klal Omer Rabbi Yishavev, Mishom Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yishavev said a klal, he said a rule in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. Koshenifsala bishchitasa nevela. So we'll say, now watch this. Rabbi Yishavev said like this. Any time that an animal becomes invalidated during its process of shechita, it becomes a nevela. Anytime ultimately again you are doing a valid shechita, and what? Something else causes the invalidation, then ultimately again, garam le pasal, trefa. So Rabbi said, this is really interesting. So Rabbi Shaviv wants to espouse a rule. What's his rule? Anytime an animal becomes invalidated during its process of shechita, it is an avela. Anytime the shechita is fine, but there's something else that invalidated, right? Rabbi said, what would be an incredible example of that? Incredible example of that was, the shechita goes just fine. Then you open up the animal. Upon visual inspection, you see that there's some type of trefa. I don't know, has a hole in its brain, has a hole in its lungs, right? Some type of, then that is going to be a trefa, right? So you hear the distinction? If the invalidation comes during the shechita, then the animal is in a vela. If the invalidation ultimately, if the shechita is fine, but the invalidation is a result of something else, the animal is a trefa. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, "Vahodul Rabbi Akiva." And at the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva actually comes around and agrees with Rabbi Yeshaviv. Incredible. So the Gemara says like this. So we'll say, now watch this. Shachat es haveshet. Shachat es haveshet. Vahodul Rabbi Akiva. So remember again. So we'll say, in the beginning of the Mishnah, so Rabbi Akiva paskind that when an animal becomes invalidated during the shechita process, it's a trefa. Rabbi Yeshaviv says it's an avela. Again, Rabbi Yosef, remember again, trefa and avela is not academic. It's very important because an avela will convey tuma, trefa does not. So in the beginning there was this machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshaviv, but then the Mishnah said Rabbi Akiva came to agree with Rabbi Yeshaviv. Beautiful. Shalom al Yisrael. I'm going to raise the kasha. Elu trefas bebehema. The following things ultimately again make an animal a trefa. Let's go. Says the Gemara, Amud Beis, Nekuva Asaveshat. So we'll say, so obviously again, if the esophagus is perforated, right? If the esophagus is perforated, or Psukas Hagargeras, or you go ahead and you uproot, right? You go ahead and you tear. Instead of cutting, you go ahead and you tear the trachea, the kana, the gargeras. So what do you see from here? That ultimately, again, halacha l'maaseh, these are examples of things that halacha l'maaseh are becoming invalid during the process of shechita. And yet, again, Rabbi Akiva is saying that it's a trefa. Subconscious, we just said before. We just said before that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yeshaviv. What did Rabbi Yeshaviv say in the Mishnah? That any time an animal becomes invalidated during the process of shechita itself, what is it? Ultimately, again, it's an avela, not a trefa. And we said that even Rabbi Akiva agrees with that. Now the Gemara quotes a braisa, and Rabbi Akiva ultimately says that what's the definition of a trefa? Even something which becomes invalidated during shechita. So he's contradicting himself. To which the Gemara says, Amarava. Rava says, well, says, therefore, two contradictory statements. So Rava says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kansha shachat ulubasof pasak. One is talking about a case over here where first shechita occurred, and then first the cutting of one siman occurred, and then the dislodging of the second. Kansha pasak ulubasof shachat. Here it's talking about where the first siman was dislodged, and then the second one was cut. What's the distinction? Here we go. Shachat ulubasof pasak. If you cut the first and the second one was dislodged, nifseles b'shchitahi. Ultimately, this is considered to be invalidating during the shchita process. And indeed, Rabbi Akiva holds, like Rabbi Yeshaviv, that when something is invalidated during shchita, the animal becomes an avela. So the Gemara says, pasak ulebasov shachat, but if halacha l'maisa, the first siman was uprooted, right? So when I say uprooted, anything other than cutting, right? And then the second one was cut, that's considered to be ki davar acher, garam la li pasal damya. That's considered to be ultimately, again, like something else caused the invalidation. And therefore, the animal ultimately, again, will be a trefa, not an avela. Okay. Says the Gemara, Eitzir Rav Acha bar Ava l'Rava. Rav Acha bar Huna raised the question to Rava. He's asking on Rava's interpretation. Rava, is that really correct? After all, again, the Gemara says, Shachat es haveshet, upasak es hagageres. Yet if we go ahead and we cut the veshet and dislodge the gargeres, or pasak es hagargeres, v'achakach shachat haveshet, or vice versa, or you went ahead and you cut the gargeres, and then afterwards, I'm sorry, you uprooted the gargeres and afterwards cut the veshet, nevela. Ultimately, again, it's a nevela. So we see that we're not making any kind of distinction. Ema ukvar shachat es aveshet meikara. Says, no. Read it as he already cut the veshet from the beginning. So he was cutting first, and then ultimately uprooting afterwards. So remember again, because the distinction that Rabbah wants to make over here is, if you're cutting first, uprooting second, that's called an invalidation machmas shchita. If you're uprooting first and cutting second, that's called davar acher. He says, two problems with what you're saying. Number one, chada tahenu kamai. Says the same case. Vot hotnan vi achakach. Also, it says achakach afterwards, which indicates a progression. Ela amarava, rather Rava says, elu asuros katani. But the way the Brisa should read is, the following items are asur. The yesh mehen nevelus, the yesh mehen treifus. Some of them are nevelus, and some of them are treifus. Okay? I v'lichshov nami dechizkiyah. Why not include the cases of Chizkiyah in this as well? Damar Chizkiyah. Asol gistera. In other words, if that's what you're doing, you're just making a comprehensive list of things, some of which are nevelus, some of which are treifus. So why not go ahead and also include the cases of Chizkiyah? Amar Chizkiyah, asol gistera nevela. So I also remember again the case of gistera. Gistera, it means you cut the animal in two. Right? If you cut the animal in two, ultimately, again, that is considered to be a case of nevela. I v'lich shav nami d'Rabbi Lazar. Also include the case of Rabbi Lazar. Dam Rabbi Lazar, not la yarech v'chalosh shalom neveila. If you go ahead and you remove the thigh, and ultimately again all of the flesh until the cavity of the thigh bone is exposed, ultimately again the animal is a neveila. To which the Gemara says, ki katani neveila d'lo metame b'chayim. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about a neveila that does not convey tumah when the animal is still alive. Now again, I will say, Rashi points out over here, Mechayim just means in these cases, the animal may still be moving along, or still be moving about, right? So even though again, it's still moving about, it still conveys Tumas Nevela. Nevela de Metama Mechayim lo katani, a Nevela ultimately again, which can convey Tuma, ultimately again, while the animal is quote unquote exhibiting signs of life, we're not including over here. Okay, therefore, that was Rava gave the first answer. So just let's reorient ourselves here for just a moment. Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yishayev gave a rule on the Mishnah. What was his rule? Anytime that an animal ultimately, again, anytime something goes wrong with the Shechita, Rabbi Yishayev says, with Shechita itself, and that invalidates the animal is an Avela. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva argued, Rabbi Akiva says, no, the animal is a Trefa. Nafkamina between Nevela and Trefa. Nevela conveys Tuma, Trefa does not. The Mishnah then went on and said, but Rabbi Akiva came along and came to agree with Rabbi Yishayev. Okay, so therefore we'll say, when we finish the Mishnah, everybody is on the same page. What's the same page? That halacha l'maisa, when something goes wrong with the Shechita, causing the animal to be invalid, the animal is an Avela. Okay, then the Gemara quotes, a Braisa. And the Braisa says, Elu Trefus. The following animals are going to be Trefus. And amongst those in that list are examples of where the Shechita was botched. And the assumption is that this Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. So here you have a Braisa that says that even a botched Shechita creates a Nevela. But one second. We just said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yishayev that when there is a botched shechita, that's an avela, not a treva. So all we're trying to do is reconcile the Braisa with our Mishnah. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, "Kancha shachah b'makom chatach, kancha shachah b'shal makom chatach." What are we talking about over here? We're talking about over here where halacha l'maisa. Let's say the simen, one of the simanim was already cut. There was a hole in it. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, again, you cut in the area where there was already a hole. Shachat b'makom chatach nifsla b'shchitahi. So if you go ahead and you shech the animal, you cut along where the simen itself was already cut. That's called nifsala b'shchitahi. That's called invalidation during shchita. And halacha l'maisa, the animal will be an avela. But ultimately, again, if you go ahead and you shecht it, you cut it, not where the initial hole was, then halacha l'maaseh, that's considered to be davar acher, not the animal dying, not as a result of a botched shechita, and therefore, again, it'll be a treifa. Verses 1 second. Umiyamar Reb Shimon Lakish Achi, but did we say this distinction? The Gemara says, That if you went ahead, I will say, and you cut the kana is the trachea, you cut the kana, and afterwards, again, there was a perforation in the lungs. Now, again, I will say, we're going to talk about this case more tomorrow. This is really fascinating. Now, the Gemara says, works right on the understanding that how does air get into the lungs, right? The air gets into the lungs through the trachea. So ultimately, and now watch this, the Gemara says, if you went ahead, this is how fascinating this is. Now, generally, a hole in the lungs makes the animal a trepha, right? Because a hole in the lungs is going to be a condition that is going to cause the animal to imminently die. So watch what happened over here. So what happened is as follows. That if you shecht the kana, you shechted first simen, after you shechted the kana, now there's a hole that developed in the lungs. So we'll say, see what happened over here? Shechted first simen, and then a trefa condition developed in the lung itself. The Gemara says, kshera, it's kasher. Now why is it kasher? We'll say, it's incredible. Why is it kasher? Because the Gemara says, because alma kiman demancha bidikula damya. Because we'll say, once you shecht the trachea, what's the status of the lungs? What's the status of the lungs after you shecht the trachea? Literally, the Gemara says, it's as if it's sitting in a basket. In other words, once you cut the trachea, the lungs are irrelevant. The lungs are irrelevant because, in other words, and again, I want to point out over here, like most things in life, timing is everything, right? Because remember, again, when did the hole develop in the lungs? After the trachea was cut. Obviously, again, if the hole developed in the lungs before the trachea was cut, that's a trefa, that'll invalidate the animal. But Allah l'maisa over here, in this case, you cut the trachea first, then the hole developed in the lungs, it's totally fine. Hakanami, so it's over here. Why don't we say, kiman demancha bedikula damya? You should say the same thing over here, ultimately, again, in the case of Reish Lakish, to which the Gemara says, Allah Rabbi Chiyah says, it's great. Allah Rabbi Chiyah Rabbi, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Lo kashya, stop. Everyone stop getting all worked up over this Mishnah Bryce. Why are we getting all worked up? Let's one more time. Why are we getting all worked up? Why are we getting all worked up? Am I the only one who's getting worked up over here over this, right? Let's say, why are we getting worked up? We're getting worked up because, again, the Mishnah had a machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshaveh. What was the machlokes? An animal dies as a result of a botched shechita. Botched shechita. Rabbi Yeshaveh, the animal is an avela. Rabbi Akiva, the animal is a trefa. But then the Mishnah says, oh, Rabbi Akiva comes along to agree with Rabbi Yeshaveh that Allah lemais the animals in Avela. Then the Gemara quotes a Braisa. What does the Braisa say? Ela trefas. The following is a list of animals which are trefas. And included in that list is an animal that dies as a result of a botched shechita. So it's a contradiction. Because you told me that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yeshaveh that when an animal dies as a result of a botched shechita, the animal is in Avela. But yet here in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva is on record as saying that the animal is a trefa. So which one is it? To which is incredible. So again, we've got Rava, we've got Reish Lakish, everyone trying to reconcile it. Finally comes on Rabbi Chebra Abba and says, and then Rabbi Yochanan says, calm down, Lokasha, Kan Koden Chazara, Kan Lacha Chazara. It will say, it's just two different time frames. The Mishnah, right, the Mishnah obviously tells us that Rabbi Akiva retracted his original opinion. He retracted his original opinion. And Halacha Lamaisa agreed with Rabbi Yeshaveh. That's it. The Braisa is pre-retraction. That's it. The Braisa is just pre-retraction. The Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva before he retracted his opinion and came along to Rabbi Yeshaveh. That's it. We don't have to reconcile. We don't have to figure out how to fit everything together. That is it. Umishnah lo zaza bimkoma. And ultimately, again, the Mishnah, however, that is the Braisa that we quoted, did not move from its place. The Mishnah did not move from its place. So we'll say that halacha l'maisa, Rashi says over here, Mishnah, the ilatrefas achashin nishnas bebeis ha-medrash lo zaza mimkoma, lo shechachu atanayim v'lo akrum mishnasam. So Mishnah ilatrefas, we'll say, Mishnah ilatrefas ultimately again remained in place. In other words, even though Rabbi Akiva's opinion changed, they still kept this original Mishnah ilatrefas the way that it initially was. And that's it. And therefore, there's no contradiction. Just our Mishnah represents Rabbi Akiva. In other words, essentially, we'll say, the chronological order is the Mishnah ilatrefas came before our Mishnah that we just read in Ashochet, right? The Mishnah ilatrefas reflects Rabbi Akiva pre-retraction. And the Mishnah that we just read ultimately again is Rabbi Akiva ultimately again post-retraction. And therefore, again, two different opinions, Rabbi Akiva. But bottom line, where we stand right now, Rabbi Akiva changes his position, agrees with Rabbi Yeshaviv, ultimately, again, that when an animal dies as a result of a botched shechita, the animal is, in fact, considered to be an avila. Bosai, two important pieces of Musar Haskil. Number one, in life, it is okay to change your mind. It's okay to change your mind. A lot of times in life, we become so intractable. We become so embedded in our ideas, in our hashkafas, and in our isms. And even when we see that it is clearly wrong, and clearly not serving our goals. And by the way, maybe it was always wrong, but sometimes in life, you know, you have certain outlook and ideas that work when you were 20, but they don't work when you're 50. And we become so reticent to change our outlooks, to change everything. This is what I do. This is who I am. This is who I believe. If Rabbi Akiva could change his mind, I could change my mind as well. That's number one. Number two, Rabbosai, the most incredible line in the world. U'mishnah lo zaza mimkoma. The Mishnah never moves from a Seis. Rabbosai, in our world, everything is always changing. In our world, everything is always moving, right? It always feels like the ground is shifting underneath us. Society has its own values, its own ideas. Society has different ideas often on what's right, what's wrong. Now, we'll say, how do you go ahead and keep yourself from slipping into the abyss of sometimes what society, greater society, has become? You have to hold on to an anchor. Rabbi said, what makes an anchor an anchor? It remains in place. The greatest anchor in the world is Torah. Why? Because u'mishnah lo zaza mimkoma. The world could change whatever it wants. But the beauty of Torah, Rabbi said, isn't it the most incredible thing that when you sit down and learn a blot of Gemara, that it's the same Gemara that our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, that for who knows how many generations before us, Meseches Chulin, Daf Lamed Beis, it's the same. Right? It's not the Pshat. Oh, that's interesting. You know, my grandfather had a different Gemara. No, he didn't. Mishnah lo zaza mimkoma. We both say what we do each and every day understand is not just simple learning, but ultimately, again, we are anchoring ourselves so that no matter how much the winds of change, right, no matter how much societal winds press against us, we are always anchored. Mishnah lo zaza mimkoma. We're anchored in our Yiddishkeit, we're anchored in our Torah, and we're anchored in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we'll stop over here. Shkayach.